is coming from Isaiah chapter 24. Isaiah chapter 24. And in Isaiah chapter 24, we have a broad judgment of the people. And we've been talking on that for the last several weeks. First one we looked at was judgment begins at the house of God. That was dealing with the servants of God, and we said that judgment wasn't a judgment of condemnation. It wasn't judgment, but it was more punitive judgment, a corrective judgment. In other words, as we learn or as we do things that are not according to His word or whatever, He gives us a chance. Or His word corrects us, as He told David that when his son Solomon would disobey His words and commandments and statutes, that He would chasten him with the stripes of the rods of men. And so the chastening that we endure now, the judgment or the punishment, if we would judge ourselves, is corrective and make us better citizens for the kingdom of God. The second people that we looked at in this judgment in chapter 24 was the false confessors, was the ones that are false professors, the ones that are in the church but are not converted, the ones that think they know God are being deceived in knowing God. But it's a very dangerous time, and those are the worst ones to be with. That they would follow, and the reason I'm dealing with them first, I should have dealt with them last maybe, but secondly, is that they're in the church. Those are the tares that was sown by the enemy within the church. And let's, I'll read that whole chapter to you, Isaiah, the first chapter, 24th chapter. And it says, look, the Lord is about to destroy the earth and make it a vast wasteland. See how He is scattering the people all over the face of the earth? Priests and lay people, servants and masters, maids and mistresses, buyers and sellers, lenders and borrowers, bankers and debtors, none will be spared. The earth will be completely emptied and looted. The Lord has spoken. The earth dries up, the crops wither, the skies refuse to rain. The earth suffers for the sins of its people, for they have twisted the instructions of God, violated His laws, and broken His covenant, His everlasting covenant. Therefore, a curse consumes the earth and its people. They are left desolate, destroyed by fire. Few will be left alive. All the joys of the life will be gone. The grape harvest will fail, and there will be no wine. The merrymakers will sigh and mourn. The clash of tambourines will be stilled. The happy cries of celebration will be heard no more. The melodious chords of the harp will be silent. Gone are the joys of wine and song. Strong drink, bitter in the mouth. The cry writhes in the city, writhes in chaos. Every home is locked to keep out looters. Mobs gather in the streets crying out for wine. Joy has reached its lowest ebb. Gladness has been banished from the land. The city is left in ruins with its gates battered down. Throughout the earth, the story is the same. Like the stray olives left on the tree or the few grapes left on the vine after harvest, only a remnant is left. But all who are left shout and sing for joy. Those in the west will praise the Lord's majesty. In eastern lands, give glory to the Lord. In the coastlands of the sea, praise the name of the Lord, the God of Israel. Listen to them as they sing to the Lord from the ends of the earth. Hear them singing praises to the righteous one. But my heart is heavy with grief. I am discouraged, for evil still prevails and treachery is everywhere. Evil still prevails and treachery is everywhere. Terror and traps and snares will be your lot. You people of the earth, those who flee in terror will fall into a trap, and those who escape the trap will step into a snare. Destruction falls on you from the heavens. The world is shaken beneath. The earth has broken down, it's utterly collapsed. Everything is lost and abandoned and confused. The earth staggers like a drunkard. It trembles like a tent in a storm. It falls and will not rise again. For its sins are very great. In that day the Lord will punish the fallen angels in the heavens and the proud rulers of the earth, of the nations of the earth. They will be rounded up and put in prisons until they are tried and condemned. Then the Lord Almighty will mount his throne on Mount Zion. He will gloriously rule in Jerusalem in the sight of all the leaders of his people. There will be such glory that the brightness of the sun and moon will seem to fade away. So we hear, we see where a simultaneous judgment of everyone on the earth, a cleaning and a purging of the earth, a worldwide destruction going on. When Israel had sinned against God and Moses was standing in the breach and asked God to destroy him, punish him for the sins of the people, it is when God told Moses, God told Moses at that time that you go your way, Moses, I'll punish those that had sinned against me. I'll blot those out of his book, out of my book. So we have to, even though we pray for our brethren and pray for different people and pray for the world or whatever, it is God doing the judgment, and he judges the severity of the sin. He judges the severity of the sin, and we know it rains on the just and the unjust, but we see God's people here, they're going, under that judgment like the times of Jacob's trouble. The world is agonizing. The world is going through this. As last week, we had all of the other nations and things looking as the United States was being sieged, as the Capitol was under an insurrection. And we had discussed that maybe 4 or 5 years ago, that the Arab Spring would have to come to this nation. It would have to probably be the last place it come. But we've seen the nation fall spiritually at that time. We've seen the physical portion of it. It's been fallen. It has been fallen a while. The call has been called to come out of Babylon. But we've seen physically what happens to a nation when it loses all moorings, when the foundation is being shaken. They're trying to uphold it now. Speaker Pelosi and a few of the Republicans are speaking out against this, because unless there's a severe judgment of its leader now, the people still will suffer the consequences of this, what has been done. And the same thing with God. He's been transgressed against, and God's going to take action on the transgressions against him. It's going to be corrective to his people, but it's going to be judgment for the false professors, the false confessors, and for the rest of the world. So we see in the church this part that's very dangerous, and we see the last two or three verses where that his people was going to break out in song in the east and the west. In other words, parts of the world that's feeling for what's going on in the nation, that we have 50-60% of this nation that has to be destroyed eventually because they've broken scripture. That's what we call sedition, for seditious actions. That's going against a government that God has established, authority that God has put in place. It's just like when if you rebel against your parents, it says your life will be cut short. It says honor your parents that your days may be long. It doesn't necessarily have to happen at that time. But eventually you're still under the judgment of God because you transgressed his law, his word, by not honoring your parents. So God determines the delusion. He determines the judgment. He determines the time. So when he realized that he had planted a good crop, he had started the church with the correct foundation, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, and he got the church going, the resurrection, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and he built it up on the prophets and the apostles. Well, then long comes the enemy sowing tares into the church. If you notice, his biggest fight was against the false professors and Antichrist. Jesus Christ was fighting the same religious battles as we fought. the Pharisees was his greatest adversaries, and those are the ones, the determinate counsel of God, allowed those people, the religious people of that day, to deliver him to be crucified. Well, that's what happened with the Capitol this week, was the so-called people that say that they are religious and patriots, they decimated, or they raised an insurrection, a second insurrection against the nation. This is the same as it was during the time of Civil War. It was an insurrection against established government, and they went back and said in 1712 or 1812 when the British came up against the nation. But see, the Civil War was an enactment of brother against brother, and that's what we have in here. And it's their characteristics that help us determine our walk in the Lord, of those people that are in the Lord. That's why we have to be awakened. We have to be quickened. We have to be made alive. But the majority of the world, the majority of the church, have become apostate. The confessors and the false prophets have the people thinking they're on a religious road, and that the mega churches and all the teachers have people dabbling in religion. In other words, with just a little bit of knowledge of Christ, not a thirst and a hunger for Christ, but they're setting themselves in positions to be deceived, and there are characteristics to these things. Sheep and goat has different characteristics, so it requires judgment. The book of Exodus, the 23rd chapter, in the second verse says, "Don't join mobs intent on evil. When on the witness stand, don't be swayed by your testimony by the mood of the majority present, and do not slant your testimony in favor of a man just because he's poor." Just because a majority of the people think one way, that doesn't make it right. And that's one of the things about democracy and about socialist governments and about communist governments. There are all types of different governments, but for that government to advance or be successful, there must be a rule of law. Unless you're authoritarian or a dictator and you set the rules of law. But then, as the United States is supposedly a republic that's a democracy, whereas the people and we have a rule of law, when you don't follow those rules of law, or through hypocrisy propagate that you do have those, but it's up to your discretion to follow them when you want to or whatever, it results in chaos. They're trying to compare the Black Lives Matter and some of the movements that happened this summer with this movement the other day, and they say, well, that shows a double standard in the nation or whatever, because if this would have happened, and we don't know since it didn't happen, but if this would have been one group of people trying to evade the Capitol like that, they'd have been shot on sight. That it would have been a whole different outcome. But I was watching Joe Scarborough on Morning Joe, and he used some profane language, but he was very upset with what happened in the nation, what was allowed to happen. But those people, whether he's saved or not saved, and the feeling of the world around us, you can tell God, those that were of God, that they were mourning and sighing for what was happening in the nation. I don't know how many of us really that are really thinking about this and taking that to heart and mourning and sighing and praying about this and are marking and being aware of what's going on. Because those are the ones that God's looking to save. That's why he told Ezekiel in 9, said, "Mark those that mourn and sigh for the abominations that are going on within the nation. Marking those that are rising up against the rule of law and they are not obeying authority." Within the church, and since the church has become political, Jude himself during his time was about to write about the common salvation, but he says he changed it. He was right that we could contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. because that evil men, he says in the fourth verse of Jude, he says, for there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, denying the only Lord God, Jesus Christ, who had brought them. The church had apostatized, and we see in Revelation where those churches have the rulers and the leaders of the church. A lot of the mega church leaders that speaking out and are with this movement, it was a political, it was a religious movement, but these men are already condemned, but they're angels of Satan transforming themselves into ministers of light now that they're within the churches. Satan has come down to earth. Now that's more dangerous when your preacher, your teacher, your family members or anyone within the body of Christ could be leading you astray, could cause your death. That's very precarious. That's very dangerous. That's why we have to be aware. The 8th verse of Jude says, likewise, also these filthy dreamers, defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities of authority. There's no respect for anything. There's no respect of the people left. That's what they're thinking of, that whatever they think is right, whatever their mind can conjure up, that's what's right. There's no absolute. There's no truth. It becomes relative. It becomes objective. And it becomes to where one man could decide whether we will follow this law or not. And it's not God's the standard. God's no longer the standard. God's no longer the moral bearing that we follow. Because you're overthrowing what God had established. He told us to be obedient, a subject to those that have rule or authority over us. The 10th verse of Jude says, but these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beasts, and those things they corrupt themselves. Now I think today man wears it as a badge. Ignorance is bliss. In other words, people go about on the internet and the computer and everything, and you can find a whole lot of wrong channels, and some of the platforms have taken these off because they even label them as misleading and construing the truth that's false and gives a misunderstanding. There are churches that are not labeled like that, and that's where the biggest danger is, because Paul said in the latter days men will rise up speaking swelling words, drawing people to themselves, followers of themselves. The blind leading the blind. Leading captive houses of silly women laden with sin, because all they're thinking of is that they're blessed and that God's with them, but they don't have to fill out the conditions of being a saint of God. The characteristics of those of goats, they'll eat anything. They'll listen at anybody. They won't examine and look for the truth. So false professors really persecute the children of God. Because when you stand up for the truth, since they are violent, since they are capricious or whatever, they will hurt and destroy you violently because they know what your true beliefs are. So we have peaceful demonstrations and we have demonstrations of natural brute beasts that are corruptible. You remember it was Ishmael that persecuted, God says, the child of the bondwoman that persecuted Isaac or whatever. A lot of times the true Christian, the true person of God, the truly conciliatory person or the peaceful person, a lot of times, as our leader says, by being peaceful you can't win. You have to be violent. You have to approach this with evilness, in other words, a destructive nature, a combative nature. Whereas that's not what the word of God has the characteristics of sheep. The characteristics of sheep is that the Lord fight our battles. That we allow God to go before us and open up the pathway. Paul himself in the book of Philippians dealt with false brothers, which they called the Judaizers, whom followed him around when he was preaching, trying to add affliction to his bonds. They were preaching different doctrines of gospels, and just like in the world today, people have so polluted Christianity, have polluted this religion, that a lot of people don't want to be religion. After what happened last week, people are saying, well, if this is the way Bible people go about doing things, I don't want to be a Christian. In other words, they've caused the name of God to be blasphemed. That's why I say, if you could be a member of this church, if you could be a member of the body of Christ, you have to depart from iniquity. You can't have those characteristics. And it's better you not belong here, even say you know Christ. It's very dangerous and it's very misleading to be a loaded gun and not crucifying self, but to take up on yourself the name of God. And God's people realize and know that. That's why they kind of stand back and don't get entangled with this. In the book of Jude again, the book of Jude, the 11th chapter through the 13th verse, Jude says, woe unto them, for they have gone the way of Cain, who murdered his brother. You remember, he was a murderer. They have ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward. In other words, Balaam, you remember, he had three different errors. There was the doctrine of Balaam, there was the way of Balaam, and there was one other thing Balaam did. He chased money, he was after money, and he confused the ways of the teachings of God with mercy and grace. In other words, he told the people, since he couldn't curse the people, that if they would compromise the people, in other words, get those people to go in and have sexual relationships with the Moabites, that God would punish them for having fornication or whatever. And you remember, over 23,000 died during that time. But notice that the judgment fell on Balaam for siding with this crowd, and he was caught in the midst of this, and God punished Balaam for that. But it also says, and they ran greedily and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. The gainsaying of Korah. You remember Korah and Dathan, they rose up against Moses. I'll tell you a little bit more about that. But they wanted equal power. They said, well, God's not just talking to you only, and that we have the same power as you, and we're equal in God's sight with you, without God saying that he had chosen them. Jude goes on to say, these are spots in your feast of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds they are without water, caring about winds, trees whose fruit withered, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. In other words, there's no repentance to these people. There's no changing these people. Raging waves of the sea forming out their own shame, wandering stars whose is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. So these people can't change, won't change, and they know the truth. They've turned against the truth, but God has their destruction coming about, but they're not ashamed to go into churches. Those are the people that are not ashamed that their God is their belly, and they'll take your last dime from you. During these times, there are people in the church that are fleecing God's flock. They're using this to raise money. There are preachers that are greedy for gain, that don't care about the flock. They're what you call hireling. Long as they get theirs, long as they get their money, long as they get their prosperity, long as they're not in pain or not suffering. They laden people with heavy burdens, but themselves, they won't touch it. They love to preach and talk about these things, but won't do. Now, for the children of God at this time, we must be studying God's word. Are you listening at me? Because a lot of the people, I don't know how many within this thing or whatever, that are Republicans or Democrats or whatever they be, or independents, we must develop the I'm telling you this as a church. We must develop a plan to read through God's word each year. Now, I know as we get older and our sight's bad or whatever, and some of us that may not can read in life. And as they say, that's no excuse. Ignorance is no excuse. Ignorance is not bliss. For $40 or $50 or maybe $80, you can buy a Bible reader. These are like iPads, a little thing. It's not as expensive, but it's just a Bible reader. In other words, each day, it'll read a section of biblical scripture to you. You can, just like a tape recorder, it's a voice where someone reads it to you. Just like the, you know, you just, and reads the Bible to you. You need to know the Word of God. You're responsible for the Word of God yourself. You can't blame anyone else that says, well, fear and trembling work out your own salvation. You must stay in prayer. This year, I know praying is a hard thing. That's a hard thing. To be a prayer warrior is very hard. And one of the hardest qualifications there is that you have to keep your life pure or clean, because if you're in sin, God's not listening at you. If you're walking in your ways and not being obedient to God, that's why you're not getting heard from God. It's because you're asking Him or praying to Him about the wrong thing. You're praying about to consume things upon your own lust, for your own desire, not for the sake of the kingdom of God. He said, John says, we know He heareth us, and we have the request we ask of Him because we love His commandments and we walk and do His commandments. We must also meditate on the Word day and night. We must meditate in God's Word day and night. Continually meditate. In other words, most people's mind don't have time for God the majority of the day. God is not in all of their thoughts, because it's too much technology, too much entertainment, too many other things to fill yourself with God. That's why He says we must come out from the world. He must increase and we must decrease. We must die to self, our desires and passions. So this is getting very precarious, because it says, if possible, they could fool the very elect. So all these people that are drawing back from the president now or whatever, you know, they're not really very smart people spiritually, because if you were spiritually strong, if you were anything in the Word of God, you would have seen this coming. You wouldn't even been that far down the trail. It wouldn't have took you 4 years to catch on. If you're that blind, you need to go. That's why I say a lot of God's people are dying and will die and will suffer. Because they didn't, you know, they wasn't the call, the ones that were fighting the battles. They loved it to relax and take it easy. It wasn't designed for them. They didn't know their place in Christ. They thought that being a Christian is just, whoa, I get converted, I'm just in the church and it's an easy ride. And it's, no, that's when you have your hardest struggles, and when you come up to the church, when you start letting your light shine. It's hard for salt not to lose its savior when you're in the Christian church, when you're a true follower of God. Anyone who runs ahead and does not remain, listen what John says. He says, anyone that runs ahead or does not remain in the doctrine of Christ, that is, one who is not content with what he is taught, does not have God. But the one who continues to remain in the teaching of Christ does have God. He has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching or this doctrine, but diminishes or adds to the doctrine of Christ, do not receive or welcome him into your home, and do not give him a greeting of any encouragement. Don't even say, bless you, I wish you well, when he get ready to leave. You can't sit down and talk to your neighbors and different people and they got some other doctrine and not believing in Christ the right way. That hinders your growth. That's how people are being held down, because you're so polite and so naive. People come to you talking about Jesus and just, and they're wasting your time because they're losers in here. Nothing stops them from naming the name of Christ. They don't care about naming the name of Christ in vain, using the name of Christ to borrow stuff from you and to stay on your good side. All they have to do is say that they love Jesus and they're a Christian, and you'll give them everything. That's your ignorance if you're not that strong to realize something's wrong with their life. I have to grow here. That's not my cross to bear. That you have to have that authority that people realize who you are and what you are, like Daniel. They didn't play with Daniel when it come to religion about his God. We are to teach the younger generations to fight. You know, this generation don't know how to fight. And during the time of Judges, there were those that didn't go through the wilderness wanderings, and they didn't know how to fight. You know, people have to teach you how to fight. It says, now the nations which the Lord left in order in Israel was to test him, and because the ones coming up was not previously experienced in any of the wars of Canaan, only in order that the generations of the sons of Israel might be taught, or at least those who had not experienced it previously. I know someone that has some people around them, working with them, or growing up with them. The people don't know about, you know, they've had it easy because their parents was wealthy. Their parents was doctors or lawyers and had good amount of money. So these children hadn't learned the word. They hadn't learned to what hardship is and what money is really, because it came too easy for them. That's why God talks about winning the lottery or quick riches or whatever, that it takes wings and fly away. But if you have to labor for each and every dollar you get, if you have to suffer and agonize and grow up, if this comes to you the hard way, you more or less likely not throw it away or not taking it the wrong way. So these children, and most of them, the ones we went to school with, their parents was well off or whatever and had money. It was fairly easy in their life. Like our president, it was very easy for him in life, so he don't know the value of money. He don't know the value of people not having something. And those are the ones that are ungrateful and unthankful. We have to be careful of how of our children, and that it takes experience. In other words, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, so we can't look at this as a carnal battle, that it's black against white, that it's poor against rich. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but spiritual wickedness in high places. So it's a spiritual battle. And if you're not in a church that's teaching spiritual warfare, that you have to love your enemy, that you have to follow the word of God, and that God fights your battles and not you fighting your battles. 2 Corinthians 10:3-5 says, "For though we walk in the flesh," just like Jesus walked in the flesh as a man, We are not carrying on our spiritual warfare according to flesh, using weapons of man. We're not using a gun or a knife. We're using prayer. We're using walking in the word of God, allowing God to fight the battles. We're being led by the Spirit of God. The weapons of our warfare are not physical or flesh and blood weapons. Our weapons are divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. In other words, pulling down strongholds. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. The prayers that we are praying, and that's why I say prayer is a hard job, because you have to know the prayers of imprecations when you pray for God to destroy this man and his whole household and that he be rooted up. You have to know when to pray to God, when that God would vanquish everything that this individual has and let him face the ultimate judgment. You have to know when the cry to God was actually in you and how you feel, or you will come to God and not know what to say and tell God and say something to God, trying to appear religious and loving everyone, and that's not how you feel. God wants you to come to him and tell him your problems, cast all your cares and your burdens upon him. Tell him what's going on. He knows it anyhow. Your thoughts are naked before God. So you're not fooling no one but yourself. We are destroying sophisticated arguments and every exalted and proud thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God. We take every thought and purpose captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. In other words, we're doing this the way Christ tells us to do it. We have to follow him, because if we follow self, we will have a problem here. That's why the judgment is not falling on God's people. That is corrective. It's showing us, if we continue in the doctrine of Christ, instructing and teaching. In other words, we're listening at the preacher and teacher, and it's hard to do that because flesh wants to do differently. He told him, Ezekiel, they're going to come there, they're going to love to hear you preach and teach, but they're not going to do what you tell them to do. You know, people love to hear the word of God, but they don't like doing it. And that's where the power comes in, being a doer of the word of God. That's why he said he gave them power to become sons of God. That power grows you by increasing faith of practicing what you have heard. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. It says, being ready to punish every act of disobedience when your obedience as a church is complete. In other words, if there needs to be discipline in a church, we need to punish acts of disobedience. See, that's where the nation failing at. There are only a few people ready to make an example of our president, which they should. If they don't, it's going to happen again. This is going to be worse next time. They told them that's the first time they tried the impeachment and didn't do it, that he was going to get worse. If you allow this in the church, if these old men creep in unaware and you don't drop lower the boom on them, they will fool others in the church or get others in the church and entrap others or cause others to give up. And that's why it tells you, the elders in the church, those that sin, rebuke them openly, that others will see and fear. Don't coddle them when they're lying and misleading and not telling the truth, when they're not doing. If they're disobedient, the church has a right to punish them. Ephesians says, our struggle is not against flesh and blood. In other words, not contending with just physical opponents, because there are people that are just wicked and just evil or whatever. This guy that I was riding with, that I came up here with, I stepped on his seat or whatever, and I say, oh, you got a shotgun shell here, and I hand him the shell or whatever. But he might be one of those that was at the Capitol. I don't know. You can't tell by outward observances, but you need to be cautious in life. It says, but we war against rulers, against the powers, against world forces, against principality of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness, the heavenly supernatural places. So China is looking on. North Korea is looking on. Iran and Russia is looking on. That was a weakness displayed. Those people shouldn't have got that far inside the Capitol. They should have been punished, and those that were in there, that edifice should have been, if Jehu, you remember Jehu in the book of Kings? When those people came in, that place should have been surrounded. No one should have left out of there but in handcuffs. The only way that he could have got off the Capitol grounds was in handcuffs, because they was trespassing. Every sin and transgression receives it, but we just looking on, we're just onlookers. We don't get entangled in the world's affairs, but that's the way that should handle it. But who's enlightening and enabling this? It's the Republicans. They're causing this. They're causing this nation to fall now. They're not. That's not patriotic. That's being complicit in another's wickedness. So the second point would be judgment. The judgment of God is falling all around us, and it fell on all those in the wilderness. When they left there, God says, I'm going to send the messenger, my angel, with you. That was the messenger of the covenant, the angel that God sent with Moses and the people in the wilderness. But he promised, he says, the message of the covenant along with you. But he said, listen at this. He also promised he would not tolerate their sin. And if you look in the book of Revelation, the church has become too tolerant. You start tolerating and putting up with people, you will have a problem, and it's only going to get worse. Listen at what God says. Because is this not true or not? It says, behold, I sent an angel before thee to keep thee in the way. Okay, he's going to preserve thee. He's going to watch out and he's going to fight for you. And to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies and an adversary unto thy adversaries. But what happened? They conquered Sihon, got all, they conquered the Hittites, they conquered all of them, right? Except a few that he left in there to prove those younger generations. But what also happened, Sister Jackson? Didn't it happen also that every one of them carcasses dropped in the wilderness because God says, those that sin against me, I'll blot their name out of the book of life? Didn't he say, those that sin against me are not going in? He meant what he said. The people were murmuring and complaining. We inside the church, we have to follow God's rule. We can't just be dressed up saying we children of God and doing the same thing everybody else is doing. We're hypocrites then. Right. We're hypocrites then. There is a day we have to give account for the deeds done in the body. Now, if anybody should have been spared, it was Moses. There's never been a leader like Moses or whatever. But Moses had a problem. He had an anger issue. He had a temper tantrum. See, but to show you the severity of God's word, he says, now Moses, I tell you to smote the rock. That rock was representative of Christ. The second time, I told you to speak to the rock. And instead of you following my instructions and doing as I told you to do, you hit the rock. You did something I told you. Didn't I tell you, as I preach and teach you, make sure you follow the word of God? Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Well, Moses hit the rock. But he pleaded and pleaded with God until God had to tell him, don't ask me this no more, Moses. Because you hit that rock, you can't go into the promised land. You're not going in. That doesn't mean he didn't save the great Moses or whatever. But God has to give us examples of the severity of not following his word. It starts all the way back at the garden, because couldn't he have worked something out just eating from a tree? You had to kill his men. God says, in the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. The day you eat of it, you shall surely die. Why are we a nation of laws if we're not going to follow those laws? You allowed a breach. You allowed them to breach the hallowed halls of this nation, and you're not going to punish them. You just going to slap them on the wrist. For behold, the day is coming, the book of Malachi says, burning like a furnace, and all the arrogant, proud, self-righteous, high-minded, the haughty, and every evildoer shall be stubble, and the day that is coming shall set them on fire, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. Kids, oh, the whole progeny, go wipe them all out. Look at it in Ezekiel, doesn't he say, start at my sanctuary. Anybody that doesn't have the mark of God, young, old, start with the old people, end with the children. Kill them all. God's word is final. We must obey God. And we get strength and we will endure the fire. You remember I told you that fire is going to burn. It's going to be fire this time. Jude said that God is coming. He's seen in the spirit. Enoch said in the book of Jude 15 and 16, he's seen the angels of God coming to execute judgment upon all, to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against them. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouths speaketh great swelling words, having men's person in admiration because of advantage. That was Josh Hawley and Ted Cruz. They seen Donald Trump rise to the presidency of being the way he was, and that's why they voted the way they did, and they was trying to ride this same base that Trump has with their great swelling words and the things they do, with their religious beliefs. It only gets worse. God's going to come and punish. There's a fire burning. It's very dangerous. If you follow the wrong one, you both fall in the ditch. The same ones that were, he was complimenting, Trump turned around when he found out that he may be impeached, they're coming after him. Now he called them rioters and hoodlums and hyenas. He was the one who incited the riot. He was the one who incited them. So, as we speak, God's continuous salvation and his judgment is going on. As the church has to pass the judgments to keep themselves unspotted from the world. Hadn't he wrote to us to keep ourselves unspotted from the world? How about our church members and people in the church? Here's what Paul wrote. I wrote you in a previous letter not to associate with sexually immoral people. Now, he says, not meaning the immoral people of this world or the greedy ones or swindlers or idolaters, for then you would have to go out of the world and human society. In other words, I'm not talking about the people that are not naming the name of Christ. He's not talking about publicans and harlots and everything. You have to communicate. You have to be around people. You have to deal with people. So he's not talking about people that's not in the church. He's talking about the people within the church. Don't associate with them. If they're liars, if they're swindlers, if they're sexually immoral, if they commit fornication, don't even eat with those people. Jude had told you there's spots in your feast. You're going against God by even sitting in fellowship and talking with it. Paul had says, put them out of the church. We got so many churches and we know this corruption is going on. And we got these people, women, woman, thou art loose, and all this. And you're talking about single mothers and this and that. Well, you're promoting fornication if you keep not telling these women that you can't keep having these children and stay in the church now. You can't keep living this way. God didn't say come send his son to save you in your sin. He come to save you from your sin. You got to stop living this way. But those are the ones that drag you down. You better watch people that profess Christ but are continuing in their sin. Continue. He says, but if a brother be a reviler, insults or slander, otherwise verbally abuses others, you must not so much as eat with them. If they're in the church is the ones we have to do this with. He says, don't you... Listen to how he places this. It's not for us to judge the ones on the outside the church. For what business is it of mine to judge outsiders, non-believers? This guy say he don't believe, he don't go to church, he don't do all this. Bible says, judge ye not, right? I don't judge him for it. He says, do you not judge those who are within the church to protect the church as the situation requires? This is where we're supposed to be judging at. That's why I say when he go to using tear gas and the way he removed the peaceful demonstrators so that he could hold up a Bible in front of a church. Now I do have a problem with that because now you advocating yourself to be something you're not. That's hypocritical. You bringing God into a situation. That's why I say when somebody come tell me they're a preacher or they're doing this, and now you're doing sin, you're supposed to have to depart from iniquity. You can't do this and follow God. Your hands have to be clean. This goes for all of us, everyone. Now Moses, I told you about Moses, right? And let me go with some quick consequences for sin. Can I talk quick consequences for sin with you? Moses in the book of Exodus 4:24 through 26, Moses' wife Zipporah, she had to step in and circumcise her son. Why was that? Because here go with Moses again. God had came into the tent. Moses ran into the tent. God was trying to kill Moses. He was going to kill Moses. Why was he going to kill Moses? Because Moses had delayed in circumcising his children. He didn't circumcise his son. And so his wife Zipporah took a flint rock and circumcised the children and threw the foreskins at Moses' foot and says, "That bloody bridegroom are you." In other words, how could Moses lead and preach to people about circumcision if he hadn't circumcised his own children? Wouldn't you have been a hypocrite? You have to have clean hands to serve God. Now, he hadn't circumcised his own children. You remember I told you when they was in Egypt, they learned the ways of the Egyptians and they had put God's ways aside. When you're in the world, you start leaving God's ways behind and following the ways of the world. God had told them how to worship him, where to offer a fire. What happened with Aaron? Aaron's two sons, drinking, Phinehas, wasn't they drinking? They offered fire from the wrong altar. God had told them what to do. But God should have told them a second or a third time or whatever and not be that serious, huh? Or did God strike them dead and tell Aaron? He told Moses, said, "Tell Aaron, don't act like he don't appreciate what I did, or I'll strike him too." You see, the church is different from the world. The moment they did this, as Joe Scarborough said, Rudy Giuliani, Donald Trump Jr., all of these people, they should have been locked up. That capital should have been surrounded, and an example should have been made of them. Jehu slayed everybody that was in that temple that was worshiping Baal. You need to be zealous for the Lord, don't you? See, the church in the world, that's why, you remember I told you Tony Perkins was saying, because Trump's adultery and thing with the porn star and everything, they're going to give him a mulligan, and they was joking about it. Now, this is who leads Focus on the Family or Family Values or something. Tony Perkins, you heard of him and Kevin Dobson or whatever laughing about sin. Sin is not anything to play with or laugh at. That Moses was going through the wilderness and Korah and Dathan rose up and they incited a resistance or insurrection against Moses. Moses didn't do anything. And they said, "Well, we just like you, we equal. God's with all of us." That's right. The messenger of the covenant is with us and we better be careful. Do not grieve. Do not quench the Holy Spirit within us. Do not provoke him either, though, because he's not going to take your transgressions, not the Spirit of God. So what happened was, God says, "All them that sang that Moses, tell them to light their censers and come down to Mar." And what he did was the earth opened up and swallowed those people that rose up against Moses. They had mounted an insurrection that was a sedition against God. So in the New Testament, what do we tell us? Let me show you how you can lose your inheritance. Can I tell y'all how y'all can lose your inheritance? It says, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, immolation, wrath, strife, seditions." Seditions. That's what they were guilty of, seditions. In other words, undermining a legal authority of government, just like this insurrection the other day, undermining the U.S. United States electoral system. It was sedition, it was an insurrection, and no Christian should be involved in that. He says, "Revilings, heresies, murders, drunkenness, such like of which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." Let's take David. David was a man after God's own heart, right? We know David was a good person. But David couldn't build the temple of God because he was a man of blood. David had got a Uriah murdered, and that did, just like I said, the Christians today that's complicit in this insurrection, he had blood on his hands, and God told David, say, "The seriousness of this, I'm going to kill the child, plus the sword, and never leave your house, David, because you've caused my name to be blasphemed." If you do anything to bring a reproach upon the name of God, I beg you, and like I told you, I was telling my mechanic the other day, if you think that you come in the church and not go do right or not want to do right or whatever, don't come in, please. Don't play with God. Don't take up the table. You have to search and evaluate yourself whether you be in the faith. So let's take transgressing God's Sabbath. This doesn't happen all the time, but God shows us the severity of it. There was a man in the book of Numbers that was picking up sticks on the Sabbath. And Moses said, what to do? This guy is violating the Sabbath. God says, take him and stone him to death. Stone him because I've given you the Sabbath and I've told you to rest on. See, these are principles. But now that we are in the grace and truth, we should willingly come in line with these principles, but to show you the severity of it, that God didn't just give you those things, he stoned him to show you, don't play with what God has told you not to do. See, that's why people come in the church and live the lives they live now, because they're not dying. God's not going to drop you dead, because judgment against an evil work is not soon, doesn't happen right then. People continue on in their sin. Judah was delivered into the Babylonian captivity for not keeping the Sabbath. They didn't keep God's Sabbath, and they were delivered 70 years into captivity for breaking the Sabbath. Now, you remember I told you about murmuring and talking, and we shouldn't be murmuring and complaining. I've read that to you, right? But hearing again, Moses, let's take Moses again, y'all. Moses' sister. And so to show you, it's not just today. One of the reasons they didn't want Biden in, one of the reasons they're fighting so hard against it, is because of Joe Biden's age. Joe Biden could, something could happen to him at any time. What happens then, though? You have a black woman that's president of the United States then, right? That's a major problem. That's something to riot and create an insurrection about and try to overturn the election, because now we will have a racial problem. We got a black woman. We didn't have a black man. Now we got a black woman as president of the nation. So you see what some of the things that's underlying that racial issues, what's boiling now. Well, let's look then, though. It says in the book of Numbers, Miriam murmured against Moses. Why did Miriam murmur against Moses? That's her brother. She should be glad for Moses. It says, because of the Cushite, the Ethiopian woman Moses had married. Didn't it? That's what we're talking about? That Moses, the leader of God's people, had married somebody from Ethiopia. He had married a black woman. And Miriam and Aaron murmured against Moses. And then God turned her into a leper. You see, but God's have a different way of building character and weeding out, but that's a serious issue, though. You see what I'm saying? Isn't that a serious issue? So those, I'm not making an accusation or whatever. I'm just saying, maybe that's the motivation, a lot of them rioting and doing all these things. The President Obama was saying that if he'd have did some of these things, they'd have rolled him off on a rail. Do we have a double standard here in the nation? If God's showing us what type people we are, our eyes open and we're saying, oh no, we just could be, we Christians, we believe in all this. You better be walking circumspectively here. You better see what's going on. Open your eyes and see what's going on. Him that defile the temple, God will defile. Now, I said, who defiles the temple? In other words, you are the temple of God. And also God shows what happened to those that defiled the temple during the time of John the Baptist when he came in the synagogue and ran out the money changers, right? But the severity of God is when David was trying to move the Ark of the Covenant back to set it in God's place, then Uzziah rushed out and grabbed the ark. He wasn't trying to do anything wicked or evil or whatever. He was just trying to keep the Ark of the Covenant from falling on the ground. God smote him dead, right? God smote him dead. David was scared of the Lord. David went home crying and upset. He had got this man killed. Why? You wasn't following the rules, David. You didn't do it the way God said do it. And God had told them that certain ones of y'all don't touch the Ark of the Covenant. Don't touch it. Don't look in it. Don't come near it. We're liable for the words we speak. He says, Jesus himself says, but I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will have to give accounting for every careless or idle word we speak. What I say, vain talk and a lot of foolish talk. The power of life and death is in the words that we speak. We have to be careful of what we say. They have the president of this nation on tape, as the speaker says, and as Lisa Murkowski says and some of the people says, he don't care anymore or whatever. He incited the riot. His words and his speech incited those people to do what they did. Dathan and Korah was the leaders of a coup, a sedition, a rebellion, and they died. Leaders of rebellion normally die. That's what God does. But the world is taking the sharp edge off of the church, the people of the church, and the followers of the church. The last example I have for you on the judgment is Ananias and Sapphira. All they did was they didn't put in the proper amount of tithes, right? But Peter said, it was yours to start with. You didn't have to lie about your own money. You didn't have to come in here and lie about that. You didn't lie to me anyhow. You lied to the Holy Ghost. You lied to the Holy Ghost and they fell dead. They fell dead right there. God doesn't kill people over their tithes and offerings opening like that today. I don't hope he does. It'll be many a dead people if he did. But he shows you the severity. All of these is an extreme severe severity of God means what he says in his word. He means what he says in his words. So as we close this out on the salvation for those of God. The apostle issues comforting words when he says, God knows those that are his. Throughout this world, God knows those of us that are his. 2 Timothy 2:19 says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Lot did evil, Lot did some hard things, but it says God saved just Lot. In other words, Lot was a just man. He was tormented from day to day by the actions of the men of Sodom and Gomorrah. In other words, he had to sit around and listen to their perverted language, their actions, and their ways. Joe Scarborough was actually, he used to be a Republican. He's no longer a Republican, but he was hurt. I was hurt. Anybody that cares for this nation, and any veterans, anything, that was a heart-rending thing that happened to the nation the other day when our president led an insurrection against the Capitol. When he incited a riot against the Capitol. Now, Ezekiel, God told Ezekiel, he said, Ezekiel, you go down there and these angels that's coming through the city, he told the angels, his messengers, he says, you mark all of those that sigh and cry. In other words, that's mourning and sorrow for the abominations that are being done in the city. How many of us are really hurting and crying in sorrow for the abominations that's being done in this nation? That's being done in the name of God in this nation. To you, God knows you. God's mocking you, setting a seal on you. So he says, all of this desolation, it shall not come nigh thee. It shall not come nigh thy dwelling. All of the famine and the destruction, earthquakes and things. He's talking to a select group of people that are light and the few that's going to remain. You remember in that 24th chapter, he says, a very few going to remain. It's like when you go through picking grapes or whatever. If you climb up that tree and pick all the muscadine vine, all the muscadines off the vine or whatever, when you get back down and look up there, it's going to be two or three here, a few here, a few that you missed. I'm saying that as a country boy. You know, Don Ray there, he used to get up some muscadine and things. That was my older brothers, him and Eli. And they, you know, they knew how to got up there and get that stuff and make that muscadine wine and all that. So we know those illustrations, but it's just as though today, if you're in a crowd, God knows those that are in a crowd, but not of that crowd. You try to stay associations away from those crowds as your parents did, and they told you. We have, so as you obeyed in Paul's presence, obey in his absence. As you're listening at my words and instructions here, as I instruct my children in everything, you have to understand that the same thing that you're doing in front of me, you're doing in front of God, and that even though anyone is not looking, God sees you. The Spirit is with you. You carry that Spirit about. Don't do things that grieve the Spirit, that quench the Spirit. That's why if you're sitting there listening to the wrong things and not being active and doing the right things, it's going to quench and grieve. Your Spirit's not going to be stirred up. Are we doing enough to stir up the Spirit, or are we letting it lull its way to sleep? You have to work out that salvation. It's God that's working in you both to will and to do. Do everything without murmuring or questioning so that you may prove yourself to be blameless and guileless and innocent amongst this generation and uncontaminated from the world. In the book of Malachi says, "But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings, and he will go free, leaping with joy like calves let out of the pasture. You will thread upon the wicked as ashes underfoot, says the Lord Almighty." Remember to obey the laws I've gave Israel that he's given to the church. And see, I will send another prophet like Elijah before the coming of the great dreadful day of judgment of the Lord. His preaching will turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children and the children's back to the fathers. For they know that they will do and they repent. We need to preach repentance. We need to do this compassionately, and we need to walk and be energized. God will energize us. During all this time, God should be strengthening us to follow. They're dropping in our right side and our left side. But we go walk on the wicked if ashes. We not go fear evildoers or worry or fret not themselves. But we go get stronger and stronger following his word. So when things happening to people around us that we thought were good people is a reason God allowed that to happen to them. And you could ask him the reason or if he shared that reason with you. But don't quench the Spirit. Don't murmur or complain against the Spirit. For the Spirit is among us, and we have to be careful to obey God in all we see, say, and do. Heavenly Father, as we come before you this day, Lord God, strengthen us in your word and in your way, Lord God, and doing those